Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. This is Augusto Perez, and shalom. Trust that you'll be doing okay, and you'll be keeping up with the news and staying close to Jesus. One ear to the ground and one ear to heaven. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and also keep your eye on what's going on around us. I'm telling you, I think that just about right now, everybody listening to this podcast, you probably are convinced that we are facing real difficult times. And I mean, you have to be totally blind not to see what's happening, not to see the dangers, the storm that is coming upon us and the world. And now you're beginning to hear more and more terms that like global depression. Global depression, and so these kinds of things are beginning to appear more and more in the mainstream media, because this is how they do predictive programming. They start telling people global depression, because that is what they're planning to do. I remember that brings back to me an experience I had when I had just returned from Cuba many years ago. I think it was in 2009. And as I was laying in bed there in the middle of the night, I was not feeling well. the Spirit of the Lord began to talk to me. And he began to talk to me, and he told me that they, and he used the term they. I mean, that was very interesting that he used the term they. But this is what he said. He said, they have planned a super devaluation to destroy the dollar. And this is a plan that has been in the works for a long time, people. This is not something new. Nor is it something that is happenstance. It is something that has been methodically planned to destroy the U.S. dollar and in order to destroy this country. And they have expanded their plans much more since then. But right now in the world, people have to acknowledge, you have to acknowledge that we are headed for widespread economic holocaust. And right now we are hearing terms, of course, we used this term before, and you know, in our little platform that we have, like God, has given us. He has gracefully given us this platform. And it doesn't seem like much, right? It doesn't have a lot of followers. But it seems like it is pretty important in the realms of the kingdom of God, because every time we say something in this little platform, you start hearing more and more everywhere else. I have noticed that. And I mean, just one or two examples. I used the term when the Lord gave me that song about Waterloo, and I mentioned that. All of a sudden, everybody and their brother are talking about Waterloo and Napoleon and France and Russia. And and then we talked about last program we did. We talked about the Black Swan event. And now that is also catching on, the Black Swan event and two Black Swan events. And I mean, it seems like there's a lot of people listening to our little podcast. And it kind of reminds me of the story, you know, when you were children, the little engine that could. And so we are thankful to the Lord for this little engine that we are able to do things with it. And as a believer, we are now all faced with a very important question, and that is, how near are you to Jesus right now? How near are you to Jesus? And when things begin to disintegrate, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you going to stay calm? Are you going to stay in shalom? Or are you going to be without peace like the rest of the world, while the rest of society is going to be panicking and fainting and just dying from fear? What are you going to do? Are you going to be one of the overcoming Christians? Are you going to be one of those that are going to receive strength and encouragement through the Holy Spirit? If you want to be able to stand in this manner when this storm hits, you have to have the presence of God in your life daily. And so, you know, don't make the mistake of measuring your walk with Jesus by your good works rather than by his presence in your life. It's about his presence in your life. And there's nothing that you can please the Lord more with, or there's nothing that can fulfill the center of God's will than when we shut ourselves with him in prayer, and we just dedicate our lives to him in prayer and just talk to him and fellowship with him in prayer. And I've been reading, you know, some of the scriptures. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he talks about, he knew what it meant to lose everything. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to have thirst. He knew what it was to suffer deprivation. He knew what it meant to be abandoned by close friends and relatives. He knew what it was to be chained in the prison cell, the dark prison cell, and forsaken by those close to him. He knew all of this, and yet Paul never fainted. He never fainted, and he grew stronger through every trial. he knew the secret to getting and maintaining the strength, and that was to live close to Jesus. And he was able to say in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 16 to 18, let's read that. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that he may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And so, Jesus Christ honored Paul by standing with him. He stood with Paul. He walked with Paul. And when everybody let him down, when everybody, you know, turned away from him, he was alone. And he was difficult. And the Lord came and poured strength unto him. And the Lord delivered Paul from the wiles of the devil and from the traps of Satan. And he gave him the assurance that he would keep him from every other evil work and would continue to keep him until he, you know, took him to heaven. And, you know, I know I'm talking to a lot of people out there, and you have been going through very lonely places. It's a lonely walk. It's a lonely walk. Let me just talk to you for a moment here, okay? This is a lonely walk. You cannot please the world and be able to please Jesus at the same time. You're not going to be able to please other people, the people in the world that are making demands on you, demands that are sometimes ungodly. They want you to go there with them, to do this with them, to go here with them, to do that with them, when you know that is not in the best interest, in your best interest or in the interest of the kingdom. And so many times because you don't want to rock the boat, and many times because you just want to be nice and you want to be liked and you want to be accepted because you want to be accepted and loved by people, you go along with that. And this is a very important thing to keep in mind, that you know, you cannot have both. You cannot have both, precious people. You cannot have both. You just can't. You just can't have both. You just cannot have men, the praises of men, okay, and the praise of God simultaneously. You just cannot. You just cannot. And people that want to be liked, people that want to be looked up to, people that want to be respected, people that want the world, right, to hold them in high regard, if that is what you want, if that is what you want, that is what you're going to get. And you're going to be liked by the world, and the world's going to laugh at you, and the world's going to not at you, the world's going to laugh with you, the world's going to laugh at your jokes, the world is going to be your buddy. But then when you try to be close to Jesus, you're going to find that it ain't there. It's not there. And there's a price to pay. But Augusto, salvation is free. Sure, salvation is free, but living out your salvation is not free. it has a cost. It has a price. There's a price. Don't kid yourself. Do not kid yourself. The biggest lie that anybody can tell you when you get saved, and this is the problem I have with the churches today, the biggest lie that any church or any pastor or any preacher can tell you when you are trying to get saved and be with Jesus is, you know what? Everything's going to be all right now. Jesus is going to take care of everything. Everything's going to be all right. That is the biggest lie. Because the Lord Jesus never promised us a garden of roses. He never promised us a rose garden. As a matter of fact, he said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. You shall have tribulation. And so this is what we have. This is what we have. We have to understand these things. And so without going too far into this subject, because I have other things I want to share with you. Many other things. But this is something that you have to understand, precious people. You have to understand this. If you think that you're going to be able to run to your pastor and he's going to solve all your problems, you're really deluding yourself. He is not. He is not. He is not. My confidence is in the Lord. When I was in the church, excuse me, I was still going to church with my wife down in Miami. I never took my problems to the pastor. I never shared my problems with the people. I never shared my problems with the people. There are people that have the, they have the, if you will, the habit of sharing their problems and sharing all their woes with people so the people can take pity on them and maybe help them. And I've never done that. I've never been like that. I'm not condemning people that do it, okay? I'm not condemning anybody that does it, but I am not like that. I don't share my problems with anybody or tell my woes and this and that. I don't do that. And the reason I don't do that is because the Lord instructed me from way back when I was struggling, when I was going through my wilderness, I was going through my wilderness experience, and I was, I was rubbing two quarters together to make it every month, okay? If you're there, I know what you are. I've been there. And the only one that can take you out of that is the Almighty, okay? Man cannot deliver you out of that. Man cannot take you out of that. Man cannot help you out of that. And so the other thing that people do is, and again, I'm not condemning anybody, okay? People then say, please pray for, and then they go and tell you all the problems that they have and all their needs and all their wants, and then pray, you know? And basically what they're doing is asking. They're asking. They're asking other people to fulfill their needs. Again, I'm not condemning. I'm just sharing. And this is something that you're gonna have to learn, precious people. Listen to me closely. You are gonna have to learn to go to the Lord. Because there was a time when I was going through it, and I tried to do that. I tried to do that, and I shared my burdens upon a friend of mine. He had a good church. I mean, his church was doing well. I knew he could help me. And I was telling him that I was basically, you know, I was basically rubbing quarters together to make it. And the fact that when I went to preach, the pastors were giving me a meager offerings, meager. I mean, they were giving me to preach. I had to travel like over 200 miles round trip, or more, sometimes more than 300 miles, and they wanted to give me $50 for a service. $50. I mean, and then I had to stay in a hotel. I mean, you do your own math. You do your own math. And I told the pastor back then that I was preaching for, I said, listen, I can't make it on this. And I started, you know, telling him. And so when I got back home, the Lord really he took me to the woodshed, and he let me have it. And he told me basically, don't you ever do that again. Don't you ever ask any man again for anything. You come to me. You come to me. Don't ask anyone anything. I am your provider. This is why I am El Shaddai. This is why I am Jireh. And he said, you come to me, and I will make sure that you have what you need. I will move upon the hearts of men. I will do this. And I said, yes, sir, I understand. And I repented. I said, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. And, you know, I have never done that again. I have never asked for any money. I have never asked for anything. And this, I go to God. And this is something that I'm not telling anybody to do it, because everybody does whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, this is what the Lord dealt with me about. If your heart is right, and if you have a good relationship with God, this is how you need to do it. And now, if you don't have a good relationship with the Lord, then you really are in trouble. You really are in trouble. So anyway, that was just a little heart-to-heart talk, because the things that I am seeing coming upon us are really, really serious, people. They're really, really serious. I cannot even begin to tell you how serious it is. But remember that Jesus sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:21, it says, he sticketh closer than a brother. And he will supply with everything we need. Supply all our needs according to his riches in glory. Philippians 4:19. And that doesn't include just food and clothing and shelter, but also encouragement, strength, and the anointing. And so there is something, a lot of things, excuse me, that I want to share with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, there are things that are happening, and I want to talk to you about some things, because things are really beginning to become very, very, what is the expression, real. They're becoming real. And praise God. Praise God. And so now there's something going on with the earth. And don't let any of these ding-dongs out there tell you about the global warming and the green agenda. Now they want to do away. They want to destroy the the gasoline engine and do away with it and all these things. And what they're going to do is they want to force people to drive machines that don't work. They're not practical. These battery run machines that takes hours to recharge. And then when the batteries break down, it costs more or almost as much to replace the battery as what you pay for the car. What kind of nonsense is that? And then when you want to, when you run out of juice, you gotta recharge it, and it takes hours. Whereas, you know, when you go put gas, it only takes 5 minutes. So forget about convenience and forget about price. Forget about, they don't care about that. It's not them that, it's, they're making you do it. I guarantee you they're going to drive their big Cadillacs or Mercedes. I guarantee you they're still going to fly in the big airplanes. This Kabbalah, Kazari juice, the seed of the devil, Jesus called them. That's not me. That's not me calling them. Jesus, Yeshua called them, you are the seed of the devil. You do the works of your father, the devil. And then he said, some of them say that they're Jews and they're not. Oh, yeah. Well, anyways, this has nothing to do with the, like they say, the global warming and all that stuff. The global warming has nothing to do with the combustion engine or the carbon dioxide or this and that. It has nothing to do with that. This has been debunked by brilliant scientists. You don't want to take my word for it, don't. This has been debunked by brilliant minds and scientists. They say this has nothing to do with that. Carbon dioxide does not cause this to happen. It's not dangerous to our world. As a matter of fact, our world needs carbon dioxide. Our plants produce carbon dioxide. But this is, again, these people think that mankind is they're idiots. They're idiots. And now, of course, there are extremes. I remember like some of these old buses, they used to pour out the black smoke when they drove through. And that was bad. That was bad. But nowadays, those vehicles don't exist. They're pretty clean. They're pretty clean emissions. But still, they want zero. Zero emissions. Zero. Well, then you might as well get rid of the plants, too. You might as well get rid of the plants because plants produce carbon dioxide. And by the way, what these vehicles produce, it's not carbon dioxide, it's carbon monoxide. And so it's two totally different things. And it went, again, this is just a little change in the wording, but some people don't understand that. And so there's a big difference, and I'm not here to make a dissertation on the difference between carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide and all that stuff. But, you know, I'm telling you that what is causing this problem in the world is not that. It's not that at all. And I'm going to share some things with you. I've been sharing some things with you in the past several weeks. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that I want to, let me just wrap this up by the difference between carbon dioxide or carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide. Carbon monoxide is CO, and carbon dioxide is CO2. And they're quite similar, but not the same. Okay? Don't let these people fool you. They're not the same. They're both odorless, colorless, similar names. That is why they're so easily confused one with another. And the thing is that now carbon dioxide can be deadly if it exceeds a certain level. But carbon monoxide is carbon dioxide is one part carbon and two parts oxygen. This is natural gas in the atmosphere that is a byproduct of the existence on Earth. Basically, if we breathe, if the animals breathe, it produces carbon dioxide. Do you follow me? So if they want zero carbon dioxide emission, they're going to exterminate human life on Earth. But carbon dioxide is a natural occurring gas. It has been occurring for eons, for centuries, for millennia. And yeah, it can be harmful if a highly concentrated amount. But as it currently stands, the CO2 level in the planet is 400 parts per million. Okay? And so this, CO2 poisoning, according to scientists, CO2 poisoning is very rare. The internal combustion engines, if you stay close to the exhaust of an internal combustion engine, if you breathe the gas, then yeah, I guess you could get poisoned, okay, which causes fatigue and dizziness and headaches. But normally, when it goes into the air and dissipates, it's that's it. It doesn't do anything. It becomes part of the atmosphere. Now the other one is much more dangerous, is carbon monoxide, and that is a bigger threat. And this gas can come out of volcanic activity. Are you listening to me? One volcanic eruption can emit thousands of times of more carbon monoxide and carbon dioxide than all the combustion engines in the world put together for years in one single explosion of volcanic activity. Are you listening to me? What I'm trying to tell you is this has all been taken out of proportion, and they are selling you a bill of goods that is not true. Okay, what is causing this? Of course, now they want to do away with the gas stoves and gas fireplaces and wood burning stoves and all this stuff. They want to do away with that because again is, you know, they're using that agenda, right? And so, I'm going to tell you something that they're not telling you, and that is what is really causing this and it's going to cause really, really big, much bigger problems than this, and they cannot fix it. They cannot fix it with their puny little laws. They can't. They cannot fix it. And that is, the sun is the one that's causing this, because the sun is being affected by another object that is nearby. And this object, as I have been telling you about, called Planet X, Nibiru, etc., is causing the Earth's rotation to slow down. And it's causing the magnetic collapse of the Earth. And also, they have these things that are called atomic clocks that are extremely accurate. Keeping devices, they're extremely accurate to within 1 second of time every billion years. And so these atomic clocks, in recent years, they have needed to be adjusted on numerous occasions due to the fact that the Earth's physical rotation is apparently slowing down. Now, this has not gone unnoticed by the media. In July of 1988, the Wall Street Journal reported that scientists in the U.S. Naval Observatory and Jet Propulsion Laboratory discovered the Earth is slowing down and is developing strange wobbles in the normal axis of rotation. So the Earth is slowing down. Now, how do you explain that if you're a flat earther, right? How do you explain that? That the Earth is developing a wobble. Again, I was just joshing. I have been asked that question now two or three times recently, so I just wanted to throw something in there. Anyways, in 1990, the Omni magazine reported that between January 24 and February 3, 1990, the Earth's rotation suddenly and unexpectedly slowed down again. And then on August 9, 1991, even the New York Times reported that the Earth's rotation mysteriously slowed down. Okay? Now, this is continuing, and this has gone on and on and on and on and on. This is nothing new. This has continued. And in 2002, Nicola Jones of The New Scientist reported the Earth's magnetic poles might be starting to flip, say researchers who have seen strange anomalies in our planet's magnetic field. And they have made numerous observations along these lines. This same man Hulot said, "We speculate that we are in an unusual situation that might be related to a forthcoming reversal." Now, these are scientists speaking. These are not conspiracy theorists. And the other thing that is happening, very strangely, is that the North Magnetic Pole is shifting, is migrating north of Alaska, and it could eventually wind up in Russia to the point where the airplanes, have had, you know, the airplanes in the airports, they have this these measurements, right, that they have on the airports, right, where the airplanes land and take off, and they have had to adjust those things several times in recent days, and it steadily has been drifting, and so they have had to keep adjusting it because of the magnetic north poles that keep drifting, migrating. And so what is causing this unexplained slowing in our planet's rotation, and what is causing these anomalies? And the answer is the brown dwarf, the planet of the crossing. And so as this, some people out there, you might be getting tired of hearing this. And if you're getting tired of hearing this, and you think it's getting a little boring, I'm sorry to hear that, because this is probably one subject that you should be paying close attention to. You're not going to hear this anywhere else. You can count the people that are talking about these things. You can count them in the fingers in one hand. You can count them in the fingers in one hand. You're not going to hear this in the churches, that's for sure. And you're not going to hear this in most of the platforms out there right now in the internet, the so-called alternative news media. Like I said, maybe in the fingers on one hand, maybe. The people that are talking about this. And the reason that people don't talk about this is because it cannot be proven, like I told you before, and I told you the reasons why it cannot be proven. Go listen to the previous programs. You're missing a lot. Go listen to it. This brown dwarf, as it approaches our planet, from the depths of space, this object has such a massive gravitational pull that when it gets close to Earth, Earth is going to feel it. And the Earth, this thing is going to start pulling at the Earth, rotational speed. In other words, there's going to be a drag on the rotation of the Earth. And so just imagine the top, right? A top. Remember when we were kids? Remember those tops that we used to spin on the ground? Remember? Kids don't play with tops anymore, or yo-yos, or marbles. But that's all the toys we had when we were children. Some of you may remember. And so, when you spin a top, right? When you place the finger on the top of a spinning top, the top began to decrease its velocity. It began to slow down. So the same thing is happening on the Earth. This drag that this object is inflicting on Earth, the magnetic fields are beginning to decrease in strength, and could lead, I'm not saying it will lead, but scientists are saying it could lead to a magnetic pole shift. Now notice it is a magnetic pole shift, not a physical pole shift, although that could happen also. A magnetic pole shift is a reversal of the Earth's poles, which is a precursor to the more violent and catastrophic geological pole shift. And so if the brown dwarf gets close enough to us, and again, there's a lot of ifs here, folks. I'm just telling you because no one knows. A lot of ifs and very few answers. The ones that know ain't telling, ain't speaking. They're quiet, or they have gone underground, or they are not on this planet anymore. So if this brown dwarf gets close enough, the gravitational influence, excuse me, will become so strong that it will completely overpower Earth's rotation. And this could cause a slippage of our planet's crust. You know, the crust of the Earth rides on molten lava. And so this crust of the Earth, okay, if this geological slippage of the planet's crust happens, it produces a geological pole shift, which is also known as a lithospheric displacement. Okay? Now, how bad is this going to be, Augusto? Nobody knows that. Nobody knows that. It could be a very, very big, drastic, severe, catastrophic shift, or it could be one that has a very less severe impact. So as this brown dwarf passes Earth, Earth, it will move away from us, which according to Marshall Masters is going to happen later this year. Okay? Later this year, towards next year. This is when, according to him and his team of scientists, this is supposed to happen, and they have been keeping a close watch on this object and on this subject. So, as it moves away from us, okay, our planet's rotation will then return to normal after it experiences these shifts I mentioned before. And it may have a different geological axis of rotation. And so when this happens, all living creatures, all life forms on the earth will have to slowly readjust. Okay? And this is going to be a doozy, or like they say, a humdinger. There's going to be increase in earthquakes. We've seen that happen already. There's going to be increase in meteor and meteorites falling to the earth. The larger the mass of an object in space is, the greater its gravitational pull on every object around it. So this incoming brown dwarf has a strong gravitational attraction to everything around it in space. And keep in mind, this object, this brown dwarf, this sun that never developed, is called also the dark star, or the second sun. He has a mini solar system. It's actually what it is. It's a mini solar system. How interesting, right? How interesting that in the book of Revelation, that that sign that John saw in the heaven, appearing in heaven, with a great red dragon having seven heads and 10 horns and seven crowns upon their heads. It's very interesting. This object has been referred to as a red dragon by ancient civilizations. Ain't that interesting? And he says he has seven heads. And now we have found out he has seven planets revolving around him. Oh, it keeps getting more interesting. And then he has seven crowns upon their heads. And he says that with his tail, he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now, of course, this is being referred to before as, you know, the Lucifer being that dragon, and he took a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And that could well be. That could well be. But like I said before, in Bible prophecy, everything has a dual, and sometimes more, interpretations. And the thing I see here that is very interesting is that he cast him to the earth, into the earth, and this is something that Satan did not cast those third of the angels into the earth. They are in the second heaven. But here specifically telling you that his tail, okay, And it's very interesting because it's a tail, and this brown dwarf is a comet. It's a comet planet, or planet comet. And comets have tails. Let me repeat that. Comets have tails. And it says here that it threw a third part of the stars. That word stars there is the word where we get the word asteroids. It threw a third of the stars to the Earth. Isn't that interesting? That also the book of Revelation tells about this is going to happen. I mean, all of these things I explained to you last week, but repetition is a good teacher. This is why I repeat things, because you may not have gotten it the first time around. Some of you may not even get it the second time around. Some of you may not even get it the third time around. Some of you may never get it. Yeah. The third part of the stars of heaven, cast them to the earth. Listen to that. Cast them to the earth. To the earth. That word there, it means into the ground. Into the ground. To the earth. It's talking about casting them down to the earth. Not to the second heaven, to the earth. Are you following me? Are you tracking with me? Anyway, I like to study scripture like this because it gets very interesting when you break it down like this, when you unpack it. And it says that he cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to be delivered to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child. Of course, this it normally is referred to as Jesus, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. But last week I proved to you that also the overcomers are that man-child that is going to rule the nations with the rod of iron. And it says that her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Again, it doesn't say that the child grew up, was killed by evil man, resurrected, and was taken to heaven. It doesn't say that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why is it not saying that? Well, I guess that's not just it's just the way it was written. Well, if you say that the Bible is the literal word of God and you take it literally and it's exactly right, then why do you shift? Why do you shift when something like this happens? Why can't you not take it literally here? If we take it literal, if we take this scripture literal, it's very clear. The child was taken to heaven. The child was caught up to God and to his throne. A child, not a man, a child. And the woman went into the wilderness, fled into the wilderness, the woman that gave birth. So if that was Mary, when Mary gave birth to the child, she did not fled into the wilderness. I share with you the story of Mary and Joseph and all that in great detail this past several weeks. When Jesus passed away, she did not go into the wilderness. She went into the wilderness with Joseph and Jesus and his brothers, the sons and daughters of Joseph, when Jesus was small. When Herod gave the order to kill all the male boys 2 years and 2 years and younger, that at that time they did do that, but that's not what it says here. It says that after the child was caught up to the throne, the child, not the man, was caught up to the throne. The woman fled into the wilderness, where she had appeared before God, where she had a place before by God. Anyway. I'm sharing these things with you, precious people, because my time is about to run out. There's a lot of stuff out there that is not biblical. Do you want me to share something else with you? I'm going to kill another red heifer here, another cow, another sacred cow. All this story about the red heifers and all these red heifers and the temples in Jerusalem and blah, blah, blah. No. This whole thing is a big old hoax, a big old stuff that is not biblical. There is nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, that tells us that the temple has to be built before Jesus returns. Nowhere. That is not in the Bible. That has nothing to do with the return of Jesus Christ. And yet, millions and millions of Christians, they just swallow this thing line, hook, and sinker. And they follow the red heifers, and they give money, and they go over there, and they go to Jerusalem to see the red heifer, whatever. And yet, that temple ain't built yet. And I'll talk more about that in the future. He that is wise understands. You connect the dots. This is Augusto Perez. Trust and pray that this has been a blessing to you. Until next time, God bless you. Shalom.